You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name is Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News. Today, we're continuing on getting to know the new Pacers head coach. We covered our reactions to the hire on Wednesday and his introductory press conference yesterday. Today, we're getting perspective on Nate Bjorkgren from Mr. Locked On Raptors host himself, who has been around that team for a super long time, including the last 2 years when he was an assistant in Toronto. So Sean Woodley, the host of the Locked On Raptors, is here. First of all, Sean, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's the word just came down that the Raptors shut down Louisville as a place to play because of the Breonna Taylor shooting. And also, I imagine, because who the hell would want to play in Louisville for 6 months? But I'm doing well, because that was like the thing that was sticking in my craw all day long. And that is no longer a thing I have to be concerned
with. I might have some listeners in Indiana in like New Albany area who live like 5 minutes from Louisville. So you might have just been a very unpopular person for the rest of the
I'm time. Sorry. But like, we don't need to talk about this. But just like, you know, obviously the Raptors can't play in Toronto, probably because the border is closed for obvious reasons. And why not just put them in New York, where two of the teams they play with in the division are already there, and it's a place that the players may actually want to live for 6 months? I don't know. It's very silly. So I'm glad that very short, hellish nightmare is over.
That was quick and easy for you guys. So Pacers, out of kind of nowhere, I mean, Nick Nurse mentioned him as a finalist on a radio interview, but other than that, not much of was heard about Nate Bjorkgren and the Pacers hiring process for their head coach, and then bam, he gets the job. You already covered this for a little bit on Locked On Raptors, so when I checked that out, but what was your reaction and thoughts right after you heard the news?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised for sure. I, like you, had only really heard Nick Nurse bring up Nate Bjorkgren's name. If you looked at any of like the Vegas odds or anything, if people are actually betting on who's going to be the Indiana Pacers head coach, get help. But you know that like the Bjorkgren was like way down the list, and he seemed like kind of an afterthought candidate, and he didn't really get talked about a lot in terms of like being deep into the interview process or anything like that. It seemed like Darvin Ham or Mike D'Antoni seemed like far more likely candidates, and it was a nice pleasant surprise. And you know, when this stuff happens, I feel like there's a certain subset of Raptors fans that gets very angry and like, oh, you're poaching our stuff, oh my god. For me, I think it's great when the Raptors get people poached. It means they're doing things right. And like, I would have killed for like the Jermaine O'Neal, Chris Bosh era Raptors to have assistant coaches poached. That would have been good. Obviously, that was not the case. They were terrible, and all of their coaches were bad, and they were bad as a result. And so this
correction,
is just like,
nothing about Jermaine O'Neal has ever been bad. But
let me tell you, his one stop after Indiana before going on to a nice career as a role player was terrible, and I hated every second of it. And it was one of the low points of my basketball fandom. But that's besides the point. I was very excited when that deal happened. You know, didn't love giving up TJ Ford or the pick that became Roy Hibbert or anything like that, but you're welcome, Indiana, for that. but yeah, it did not seem, you know, like something to be upset about if you're a Raptors fan. It's something to be excited about. It means you're doing something right, and happy for Nate Bjorkgren. And honestly, I was surprised of all the people on the Raptors bench to get a look. You know, I know Adrian Griffin, there are still some very unresolved domestic abuse allegations that were levied towards him by his ex-wife, you know, a few months back, and that never really got solved or any sort of closure on that. And so I think that is a big reason why Adrian Griffin kind of fell out of the head coach carousel conversation. He was in it for a while. It seemed like he was one of the favorites for the Chicago job, actually. And, you know, even like Sergio Scariolo, who has international experience with the Spanish team and has been all over the place. He even seemed like maybe more of a next step, next man up type of assistant ready to jump to an NBA head coaching job. But Bjorkgren, I mean, he's smart. I have made the joke because I didn't really know who he was before he got to Toronto. I always just assumed he was like Nick Nurse's childhood friend who he just like dragged along with him from Iowa. but it turns out Bjorkgren has coached himself a lot of the places that Nick Nurse has in the G League and whatever. He's got a pretty good background. I think he was with the Suns as an assistant as well. So there's certainly experience for Bjorkgren there. And I think you know, when you have that like Nick Nurse pixie dust on you, Nurse having won a title and then a coach of the year and his two seasons as an NBA coach, you know, I think the sort of things that Nurse brings, it's not surprising to me that someone looked at one of his assistants and said, yeah, that's the person we should have on our team because of all the things the Raptors have done so well over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I have that written down as one of my questions I want to ask you, so I'll cut it to the front. But I want to go back to you saying that when you get poached, it's a good thing. Like Peter Dinwiddie just got yanked from the Pacers front office to the Sixers. And, you know, I get being upset as a fan, like, ugh, our front office is worse. But earlier in the offseason, the Sixers were apparently interested in Kevin Pritchard. It's like, guys, this is like the Pacers front office is clearly good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this
didn't
just happen. This is good.
That's the thing, too, is like you get those people poached. I mean, the Raptors had Jeff Weltman poached as he was their GM. He went to Orlando to take over that team. And like, I think the compulsion is to get upset about it. But like, if your team is good enough to develop these people and have these talented people in place, odds are they've got people behind them who are just as talented, who will do well in the position as well. So I expect that'll be the case with the Raptors and their bench. They have a lot of assistant coaches who they've kind of groomed over the years. You know, some have gone other places. Jerry Stackhouse is now at Vanderbilt, things like that. Rex Kalamian is down in LA, I think still. I'm not sure if he's still on that staff, but you know, they do pretty well with assistant coaches. So as much as it sucks to lose a guy who's very close to Nurse and certainly takes some of the trade secrets of the Raptors to Indiana, the Raptors will be just fine.
Yeah, so that's the thing that gets brought up a lot with the hire is like the next Nick Nurse or another names that get brought up is like Brad Stevens went from Butler to the Celtics, or like when Spoelstra got hired, no one knew who the hell Eric Spoelstra was, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, no one knew who Nate Bjorkgren is with Indiana, and now he you know, it's like, oh, you're trying to get the next Nick Nurse here, and it just so happens that he worked under Nurse in multiple stops. What does that mean to you, I guess, as someone who covers the Raptors, is around Nurse all the time, of like when they're getting the next Nurse, what are they trying to emulate, and can Bjorkgren actually do it?
Yeah, that's always tough, right? Because it's always sort of assumed that if you're an underling of a head coach, you have like the same philosophies. But, and this was something that I sort of struggled with, and the Raptors hired Nick Nurse to be their head coach after he was a Dwayne Casey assistant for 5 years. It was like, well, is he just going to do the same things Dwayne Casey did because he worked underneath him? But as it turns out, not often do you do things the way that your boss does them, right? Like you get into a new position, you get a promotion, and you're going to bring your own flavor to it. I think Bjorkgren probably will be a little bit more aligned with Nurse's philosophies than, say, Nurse was with Dwayne Casey, for example. I think the creativity, especially on defense, is going to be a thing that Nate Bjorkgren is all about. And I do know that he is sort of a development guy, which if you're looking to emulate what the Raptors have done, you know, developing guys who maybe seem like not much into something is a big part of what the Raptors have been able to accomplish in recent years. But yeah, you know, it's hard to say like what the next Nick Nurse even is, because we're still so early on in Nick Nurse's head coaching career. Like, we think we know, you know, after year one, it was even more unsure because it was like, did Kawhi Leonard just like win this guy a title when he wasn't supposed to? Is he an imposter? Like, is he playing Among Us? What's going on here? and obviously he was not. He's a very, very good coach who I think really, really thrives when he's able to get creative and throw things outside the box, not to make a box and one punt or anything like that. But I think we're going to see Bjorkgren be cut from a similar cloth. I think he's going to embrace being a little bit unorthodox. I think he's going to embrace making decisions that people may laugh at originally and then realize, oh, damn, we haven't scored a point in six possessions. maybe something's working against us here. That is sort of, I think, what the Nurse style of coaching is not being afraid to look stupid. And I would assume Bjorkgren is going to embody that as well as the head coach of the Pacers.
Hey, guys, going to take a quick little break from the Nate Bjorkgren talk to talk about the great people over at Built Go, because the Built Go people are making the best energy protein gels that there are. They're really great. They're really great for breaking through your wall, whatever it's your mental wall, your physical wall, whatever it may be. You can break through it with Built Go every day. As I've told you guys before, I'm training for a 5K and I am using these things to get pumped up for my runs on my couch to 5K. Training packets are easy to take, 1.5 ounce package. You can put them in anything, store them in your briefcase, your golf bag, your pocket, whatever. So you can take them wherever you are, whenever you want, at any time of day. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster with a third of the caffeine and better results. And they have really delicious flavors. My favorite was the chocolate mint. It's delicious. How does it work? They combine an energy gel with collagen protein. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. And It kicks in to keep your day going strong. You go to builtgo.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order. That promo code is LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Yeah, see, I get caught in this a lot. People talk about coaching trees. You know, this guy was an assistant of this guy, so maybe he'll be a good hire, or we can copy the DNA from this team and that team. And I think the Spurs had the biggest tree. Obviously, Pop's an amazing coach. But like, it's kind of split between how those guys end up doing, to the point you're saying of like, sometimes like they're different from their boss, of course. So
yeah,
saying it's the next Nick Nurse could be good or bad. However, my addendum to that discussion is these guys were like tight, not in a coaching set. Well, sort of in a coaching setting, but not like in Blake Murphy's article and in a bunch of other places you can read, like they would just hang out in basements together, like when yeah. they were coaching,
just and like making plays. What the cool people do. Yes.
So like, I get that that's technically coaching, but you know what I mean? Like that's a step farther than sitting on the sidelines or like working together with the team. That's like, these two dudes are obsessed with basketball together. And that makes me think he'll be closer to a Nurse. Now, copying is not always the best thing ever, but I think poaching the next Nurse and is a possibility with a guy who's so close to him. And maybe there's a reason that he got hired over Adrian Griffin or other assistants. Do you have any good stories about Bjorkgren from the Raptors? Do you even remember anything super awesome about him?
Not really. Like, he's a pretty low-key guy.
He's an assistant. I would not have that answer for a Pacers assistant.
He eats the media meal a lot. He'll come in and like sit at the table all us normies sit at while we're getting ready to cover a game, at least when we were in the before times when we were allowed to cover basketball games. He was kind of always around and just talking to people. He seemed like a nice, personable guy. You know, that's the thing too, right? And just to kind of go back to the previous point, because I don't really have a Nate Bjorkman story. You know, the whole, you know, becoming the next version of this coach and the coaching tree idea, right? Like, it's hard to say whether or not someone put into the head coaching position for being an assistant is going to have like the requisite sort of personality to manage people. And, you know, that's such a big part of the coaching job, right? Is managing egos, especially in the NBA, especially for Nate Bjorkman now going to a team that is, you know, kind of in some upheaval with it. Victor Oladipo's future being in question.
La, la, la,
how
la.
Is that all going to fly? Yeah, sorry. You can keep that out if you want. I don't want to offend
you. No, you're right.
But,
you are absolutely right.
Yeah, like that's a difficult situation to manage. And, you know, could every coach under Nick Nurse's tutelage have gone into the season that he had in his first year with Kawhi Leonard and managed that to perfection the way he did? I don't think so. Like it's a certain skill set that you kind of develop over many years being a head coach. And I know Bjorkman has been a head coach in the past places before. And so that I think lends well to being a head coach elsewhere. I think that's kind of like an unspoken, really important thing. Like I'd rather, I think, hire someone who maybe has like minimal assistant coach experience in the NBA, but has been a head coach in some other league for a very long time, because it is a very different skill set. And so, you know, I think Bjorkman having some of that experience will be handy. And you'll have to see. It's always a roll of the dice when you hire somebody who's an assistant with no head coaching experience to know how they're going to deal with person-to-person interactions. But he seems like a personable guy. The Raptors players seem to love him. I know Fred VanVleet was like pretty excited when he saw that Nate was getting the interview or getting
unrestricted
kind of tossed
free
around.
Agent Fred VanVleet.
Nice cap space you have there to sign him with. you're not the
Pistons. This has just become
host. I shouldn't be getting this not on the Pistons podcast. but yeah, Fred was pretty excited. I think the team and the players really like Nate, and that bodes well, I think, for the Pacers and what they're getting in the new head coach.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all that kind of stuff. That was a lot of the questions in his intro press, or twofold of what you just said, or two things from what you just said. One is, you know, the Raptors had Kawhi and then they didn't and they were still good. You know, how did you do that?
Lowry, of course. Absolute king, the god king himself.
They were still really good, you know what I mean? But you know, how did you guys communicate with these players and set them up to still be good the next year? And the other one was, how can you be a communicator? You know, what kind of skills do you have from that? And he talked about in the G League, like they would have players and then all of a sudden they would just like sign in Europe and be gone. Or like they just pick up a new, and like you have to change your team like on the fly. And those kind of adjustments in communication, leveling with your guys, you learn even though you're not an NBA coach, you learn in those settings. So poaching him as an assistant is good.
Oh,
Oh, go ahead.
I thought of a Bjorkman story.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I love it.
This is from his first season and Nick Nurse's first season with the team. And I think this was like a tandem effort by Nurse and Bjorkman. But Bjorkman was thrown around as like the sort of head honcho of this exercise. The Raptors in their training camp that year had like a championship belt they would give out after every practice for whatever drill they were doing. And it became quite a thing. And I believe Nate Bjorkman was the purveyor of the championship
belt.
So I think there might be some wrestling, history and enjoying in his background, perhaps. But either way, he's a guy who at least is strong enough to hold the championship belt. So we know that for sure about this mysterious assistant coach.
See, the story I wanted to fit in earlier was about, you mentioned the media cafeteria. And the only time I've ever seen a player or coach come in there, Pacers were playing the Sixers. And I swear, Shams tweets. So Joel Embiid's out this game, but he was questionable like right before it. So Shams tweets like, Joel Embiid is officially out against the Pacers tonight. Not 1 minute later, Joel Embiid comes in and starts like scarfing down the breakfast for dinner buffet there. I was like, oh, that's Joel Embiid. Okay, cool. It was really
How's fun. The media meal game in Indiana, by the way?
It's pretty good. It's kind of funny because some of it's just because the size of big market teams have bigger media, but you can kind of tell what the quality of the food's going to be based on their opponent. I always think that's funny, but usually very good, actually, yeah.
Interesting. I've only gotten the media meal in Toronto like twice because it's usually, hopefully the PR people with the Raptors aren't listening. I'm sure they're not, but yeah, it's usually pretty underwhelming and they have free pizza that they give out. So I just go for that and get fat over the course of the season.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll
$12, 12 Canadian dollars for,
For the $1,000.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. I usually eat at home and then like get a Sprite and a coffee or something, but.
Well, Nate Bjorkman is going to be frequenting your media meal.
See, I wonder. I was actually thinking
all
about
the time.
If he's the head coach, would he do that? I kind of doubt it, right?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, he would usually be in there with Adrian Griffin. They would kind of that would be their. They'd go for the little dinner date, I guess, to talk about schemes and whatnot.
is the content I craved by having you on here.
Happy I could bring it, man.
So my last kind of question is, and this is maybe too broad to even be possible to answer, right? Because he's never been a head coach in the NBA. But where do you feel like he can improve the Pacers the most?
Interesting. The Pacers are a team that, you know, not to offend Pacers fans again, because I'm sure everyone from Louisville to Bloomington hates me already. See, I know town.
That's like a southern quarter of the state. But
well, whatever. Pawnees in there. It's a real place, right? Or Gary. I've driven through
there
Gary
you go.
Before. I know
now
Gary
got a lot of state covered.
So, yeah, I'm not trying to offend that whole wide diaspora of people, but... I think the Pacers have been kind of stuck in the mud a little bit offensively in particular in recent years. You know, they've been very good defensively, but I think, you know, they shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers. They are hesitant to shoot a lot of threes. They kind of run a lot of sort of archaic stuff. And I think Nate Bjorkman is going to very much liven things up. I also wouldn't be surprised if we see Bjorkman sort of take a page out of the book of Nurse and make a bold decision and just say, all right, one of Sabonis or Turner, probably Turner, you're coming off the bench and you're going to be a platoon center the way Serge Ibaka was with Jonas Valanciunas and then Marc Gasol. And we're going to maybe play you a little bit less, but the minutes you're in, you're going to excel. You're going to be in a position to succeed. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, for how many years have they been trying to jam this square peg into a round hole with this front court that sort of works, but maybe doesn't really work in 2020. I think Bjorkman could be the kind of person who comes in and says, well, let's just maybe play like a team does in 2020 with them two bigs and see how it works. And Sabonis, you're a center now full time. And Turner, you're also center. Sometimes we'll play together if we need to, the way Gasol and Ibaka would sometimes play together. And, you know, that'll be a thing we can go to. We're not afraid to get, you know, creative there, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that starting tandem broken up because Bjorkman's just like not afraid. He's been emboldened by the brazenness of Nick Nurse and his guitar, you know, slinging ways to, you know, just kind of make those bold moves.
If Miles would go for that, that would be fantastic. I'm not so sure.
If not, you could just trade Miles to the Raptors and it'd be fine.
Oh boy. Oh geez. Yeah. You know, something Kevin Pritchard said in the introductory presser that he liked about Bjorkman and the way he was talking in these interviews is he said, this guy, I don't think he meant this as a shot to McMillan, but I took it this way. Like, he's not afraid to take risks and we support them even if they don't work, right? And you were right about all the stuff you talked about with the Pacers' old offense. But even on top of that, McMillan same rotation every game and same late game sets every time, same ACOs. You know, we media and fans could like predict what they were about to run sometimes, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
that should not happen, frankly. Like, that just shouldn't happen. So I think that is where I think he will, even if other stuff falls back a little bit, that's where the biggest improvement will come, is in that ingenuity, that creativity, that not so staleness on offense. And if that means shaking up the rotation, if that means taking a big risk with a style or something like that, I don't think he'll be afraid to do it. And I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, totally. I think he stands a pretty good chance of really shaking things up and making things a more lively and entertaining and unpredictable adventure for Pacers fans.
I'm looking forward to it, Sean. I know that talking about assistance is not particularly easy, but I appreciate you coming on and sharing some insight about Nate Bjorkgren and all he can bring.
Look, man, I can put this on my CV now. Like, oh, talked about an assistant coach for 20 minutes? Hell yeah, I'm a professional-ass broadcaster, baby.
See, like, I know I think about the Pacers coach, the Pacers assistants. I can tell you, like, the generic stuff, like how long they've been with the team, what they're mostly in charge of, where they're from, and stuff like that. But it had been kind of hard to apply that to another team. You did a great job.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I couldn't name a single Pacers assistant. Is Bill Baino an assistant there?
He is. That is correct. You got
no
one.
Way. Okay,
Bill Baino is a Pacers assistant. Or wait, he might have. Did he move teams? He, I think he's still here. They lost him one assistant last year. I don't
think for every team, it seems.
Yeah. Bill no, they lost David McClure. That's air. Yes, they still have.
I don't know who that is at all. Yeah. Oh yeah, Bill Baino is on the staff.
Look at you. That was impressive.
Congrats,
Sean. Everybody, Sean is on Twitter at Woodley Sean, and of course you can follow his stuff podcast wise at Locked On Raptors, and he writes for like 1,000 places. So
I don't write at all anymore.
You don't?
You
went for Raptors.com this year.
Yeah, that was like for a month. I'm officially the only ever employed member of the Toronto Raptors who got paid and did not like quit or anything like that. And I still did not cover a single in-person game because I was the freelance writer of the month for March, and they were on a road trip from March 1st to March 15th. And then you know what happened on the 11th of that month and screwed up all of my very good plans. Man, the features we would have had I been able to actually talk to players. Would have been cool.
At least you got stuff up on Raptors.com. And you have a book too. So
yeah, you're a writer. That was all right. If you want to plug something else, the other thing I like a lot is my other podcast called Basketball. It's a question mark in there. It's the inflection at the end. It's a fun podcast.
So Katie, right?
And Katie Heindel. Yeah, Katie Heindel, who is one of the very best basketball writers there is right now. So
she's a killer. She had a great
glad to have hitched my wagon. Yes, she did.
So everyone go check that out now that he's an NBA coach. But yeah, please follow Sean, follow Locked On Raptors for all the stuff about the Eastern Conference's 2 seed as they try to continue to be good without their star assistant coach on the sideline anymore. Thank you guys so much for listening to all of our Locked On Pacers stuff this week. We'll be back Monday probably to talk about news about the hire. I'm sure we'll hear about some of his assistant hirings pretty soon, and continue on with our player reviews then. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you soon.